Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
You're welcome along to Wednesday Night Rugby. Keith Wood, you're there.
Joe, how are you?
Very well. And Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent, you're back.
Hi, Joe.
Look what you started. Look what you bloody well went and started. So you were down in Limerick yesterday. Were there pitchforks outside for you?
Not quite, not quite. But it's been an interesting couple of weeks.
It has. So a few things have gone on today where we might jump in maybe with one of the things we had awaited. Munster have sent back some answers to several questions we sent on. We'll come to that. But Philip Brown, their chief executive, was at the Aviva Stadium this afternoon to announce the naming rights continuing with Aviva.
Yeah.
The gist of this day, how did it go from your perspective, Rory?
It was interesting. Even just walking into I stepped out for a moment, I came back in, and John Delaney was at one little kind of stand-up table, and he was being challenged forcibly by Emmett Malone, and then behind them, I don't know how the journalists could hear each of them. The journalists were challenging Philip Brown on the Gerbrand Grobler saga as it has been. Philip Brown, we learned a lot today. I think we learned a lot of the answers that we were hoping to get at some stage. We've learned that the RFU did sign off on this deal, that both knew about his past. I mean, we assumed, but now we know. We learned that the RFU had no specific policy regarding players with a record of suspension for taking drugs. And they have resolved that after the attention that this has brought about, they will review that and come up with a policy. So that was kind of the gist of the take. Like, there was a lot of words, but you know, if you take the key points, that was kind of it.
From what I've seen in the past, Philip Brown's not in the habit of getting heated. It seemed, and we'll play at the interview that Ger Gilroy did with him this morning in just a second, but it seemed at one point that he was asked, I think by Gavin Comiskey of the Irish Times, that if another, quote, convicted doper would be brought into Irish rugby in the future, or if there'd be a stated policy, or would it be on a case-by-case basis? And Brown said, well, that's a nonsense question. What was the tone of that response?
I get the impression, like, I can't obviously put words in Philip Brown's mouth. He answered the question then.
The tone of that doesn't sound great.
No, it was quite dismissive.
Right.
But he did go on and give a very full answer.
Okay.
I don't think he liked the wording of the question. I think that was what he, that was the inference I took from it. And maybe he, on reflection, would choose to answer that in a slightly different way, because he did give a quite full answer,
okay,
which concluded with, will we change our policies? We probably will. You know, he was quite sympathetic towards Gerbert Grobler as an individual, which I think increasingly people are becoming, because his name is in the papers every day and being discussed quite openly.
I'm sure he's not having a very enjoyable time, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's hear Philip Brown, chief executive of the RFU, under time pressure, as you'll hear, speaking to Ger Gilroy this morning.
Obviously a big day when you get to renew a massive sponsorship like this. How much in terms of the overall importance to your revenue does something like this actually matter?
It's very important. It's very important for the stadium as well. The stadium has a limited set of revenue streams, and naming rights is a very significant portion of that revenue stream. In terms of Aviva, we've had a great partnership with them over the last 8 years, another 2 years to run on the original deal, and then we're stretching it all out to 2025, which was in the original plans. We had an option in there for Aviva to extend for 5 years, and they're very pleased with the way it's gone. We're very pleased with the way it's gone, and I think they've not only making a great contribution here at the stadium, but also at grassroots level through the programmes that they run, both with the IRFU and the FAI.
Yeah, the grassroots is obviously a big issue this week. People are concerned about the fact that Munster have hired someone who is a confessed doper, and there's been a series of questions. Obviously, you personally have been involved with the anti-doping within rugby for decades back now, and reading your reports, the opening line from 2015-2016 was, we've got a zero tolerance policy to this. That's not actually the case, though. You don't have a zero tolerance policy if you hire somebody who is a cheat.
Well, I think the first thing to do is to outline very clearly what the environment is here in Irish rugby. We are probably the most stringent country in the world in terms of rugby, in terms of anti-doping.
Why would you risk that? Why would you risk that?
Let me just explain exactly how our system works. We operate with Sport Ireland very closely. We have over 70% of the user pay tests are actually for rugby. We target very carefully who we test, particularly at underage level, to ensure that we have players coming through the system who are effectively clean.
And that's great, Philip. The only difficulty is that every sport in the world says they're the cleanest. Like, Lance Armstrong never failed a drugs test, famously. Yeah, so drug testing is important. But
let me just continue. If you let me continue, I'll move it along. The situation in terms of Grobler is, here's a young man, 20 years of age, made a poor decision. Made a very poor decision.
Do we know it was a poor decision? Do we know it was a decision that the team inflicted on him? Like, how much about the due diligence of the precise situation did we do?
It's a poor decision, and and at the end of the day, he's 20-year-old. He served his term. He did his 2 years, and he played in France last year. This year, Munster had a crying need for a second role. This name came up, and they made a decision to.
Who made that decision?
At the end of the day, Munster made that decision in conjunction with the IRFU.
So you and David Nusafora and Razi Rasmus.
Decisions are made through the High Performance Department in terms of the branches. If they wish to bring in a foreign player, they must consult with the High Performance Department. The High Performance Department then, in discussions with the province, will decide whether it is appropriate or not.
So you sign off on it.
So the bottom line here is that the young man is here for a year, and at the end of the day, he's operating in a very different environment to that he'd be working in any other country, given the level of testing that we do, and also the
But why are you poisoning the Munster brand by bringing in a drug cheat? I don't understand that.
Let me just continue. I think the emphasis that we put on anti-doping in this country is significant. We have four people working in, one person in each province, working in terms of our spirit program on anti-doping. Well, listen, if you'd like me to explain, I'll explain. But
why do you risk all that?
And just continue, let me explain. The bottom line is that we have a medical system, we have an anti-doping system, we have an educational system, all of which is geared to ensure that we have a clean environment and a safe environment for players to play in. Now, in relation to In relation to the Grobler situation, I think the answer, I think, really is well, firstly, there was no specific policy at that particular time to deal with that particular set of circumstances.
Did you talk about it? Did you say this guy has tested positive for anabolic steroids? Let's have a chat about
it. I certainly didn't talk about it because that doesn't come to me. But at the end of the day, I'm not ducking the issue. The issue here is that something that we should or should not do? And I think that's a valid question, and it's a question that we have to take on board, and I think it's something we have to consider.
Should he play over the course of the rest of the season?
At the end of the day, the man is under a contract. He's 20-year-old, but he's not 20 years old now.
But you could pay that contract up and make sure that he doesn't play.
At this stage, the bottom line is he's on the roster in Munster. He's playing with Munster. I think the man should be given a chance to do what he is paid to do and to do what he is entitled to do in terms of his chosen path and his chosen career.
Even though it damages the Munster brand.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up now.
Well, I think at the end of the day, I think what we'll do is we'll obviously take on board the views that have been expressed both publicly and privately, and we'll obviously have to consider, do we need a policy, and how should we consider dealing with with that set of circumstances in the future?
Philip, thanks very much.
Okay. So that's Philip Brown talking to Ger. We'll come back to some of the specifics of what he said. But firstly, Keith, we spoke on Sunday after the Leinster match. You're in the RDS, and I threw it at you without much warning. So in the comfort here of teasing this one out properly, Munster, and as we now know as well, the High Performance Department of the RFU, David Nusafora, presumably playing a big role, the Munster and Nusafora decision to sign Grobler.
Yeah, well, I don't like that, and I don't think my position has changed much since Sunday, even if I didn't articulate it all that well, to be honest. I didn't have enough of the detail. I think we got more detail today, and the reason I was saying it was so awkward, and it's still awkward, and actually listening to Philip Brown makes it like that's incredibly hard listening to, and for a guy who obviously would rather be anywhere else in the world than actually answering those questions, you know. And I think if you stand back a moment and say, if Munster and the IRFU could turn back time, they would love to have gone back to that time and that decision and said, we won't make that call. And I think in the abstract, it's very easy when you can look back and say at that period of time, you definitely won't pick that player. And I think that would have been the right decision. And it's the decision I would have gone with, I have to say. But I'm saying that in retrospect, of course, like everybody else. 6 months in, it makes it a little bit more awkward because there's a player that's been in here. He served his ban. He's done everything. He's inside in the Munster system. It hasn't really been picked up in that 6 month period of time. Why is there's another reason behind that? But I think it's just been horrible. It's been a horrible week for everybody involved. I think it would have been served far better, actually, Rory, when you'd asked the question at the very start and a full level of clarification had come out at that period of time, because I don't think it's been handled very well.
Mm. So the wrong decision sends the wrong message, and you just completely disagree with it 100%. That's effectively what you're saying.
That is 100% in the abstract. So if you're doing it at the start, but what do you do now 6 months afterwards? Well, that's why I said it's not quite as simple as being black and white, because you've a duty of care to the player that's in there, and be he a young man and a South African, and he's not Irish, but he had a ban and he served his ban. We've brought him into the system. He has been, I'm going to say, welcomed into the system. And 6 months later, this crops up. It should not have cropped up at this period of time. It should have come to the fore at the very start. That didn't happen. And we're in a very awkward situation now, an unheralded situation. But one of the things I would say is that I think this now is the cautionary tale. And I would believe that on the back of this, there will be a policy in the RFU through the provinces that this situation will just never be countenanced again.
We'll come back to your point about that you feel is less black and white. Should he play going forward? We'll park that for a second. We'll come back to that, because that's going to be one of the key issues now for Munster, for the RFU. Does this guy ultimately run out of Thomond Park in the Munster jersey? Philip Brown today, I mean, look, the optics of some of it, the interview with Jair, for instance, you've got the press officer wrapping the thing up in the background. That's just a bad idea. Mm. Like, we've nothing to hide here. We're going to talk this through. I didn't understand that. And there's an element of filibustering going on as well, in the knowledge that this is a tight for time kind of interview. That's not the way to do it. And also, like, at certain points in the interview there, Rory, Brown does say things in very corporate, nuanced, wishy-washy kind of language, which amount to, yeah, we probably made a mistake, we're going to review this going forward, but didn't actually just say, we have made a mistake here. We're taken aback by the reaction. No. I don't know why we did this. It was a poor decision. It's never going to happen again. Instead, if you look at some of the quotes, like this one jumped out at me. There is a contradiction here in what he is saying within the space of a full stop. He says, in terms of, are we going to bring in drug cheats? The answer is, I don't think we are. Okay, you think good. But in the circumstance here, there's a young man who made a poor decision in an environment which is very different to the environment he's operating in now. So if that's going to be the exception to the rule, that he was in a different environment to the one he's in now, if that's the exception to the rule, then that will be so commonplace, it renders the rule meaningless. Yes. So That is a massive but to throw in there, as opposed to, we're not going to do this again.
I suppose in Philip's defence, Gerber and Grobler is an employee of the IRFU. So, you know, he can't be going around, you know, disparaging his own employee. I just think that probably, the fact that he is employed, Keith's point is well made, that, you know, he is there now, he works for Philip Brown. Mm-hmm. They made that decision, that's their fault, it's not really on him. So I guess in his case, I think there's a point to be made about the environment point. The environment in South Africa, Ireland recruit regularly from South Africa. If the RFU have concerns about the environment in South Africa, then why are there 14 professional rugby players from South Africa playing in Ireland, and five of them playing for have played for the national team under Joe Smith? So I think there's a point to be made there. I think what will happen is that a player who has tested positive and served a ban will not sign for an Irish province again, and I think that's because of the furore this has caused. I think what we didn't find out today was, what does zero tolerance mean to the IRFU? Because I thought zero tolerance meant that you didn't tolerate the use of performance enhancing drugs in sport, but by signing Gerber and Grobler, that just doesn't tally with the idea that I had of zero tolerance. It's in their manifesto about drugs, or their report from 2016 and 17, and yet at the end of 2016 and 17 they sanctioned the signing of Gerber and Grobler. So I think what Philip Brown could have done maybe today was clarify better what zero tolerance means to him and to his organisation. because that's unclear at this stage.
Yeah. So we sent a number of questions to Munster. We got the answer back in writing today. I read out the full thing at the top of the show. I won't do that again because it's unnecessary, and you can check out offtheball.com. Just a few points, like question one, and this is the question that Philip Brown didn't answer really either, and you've reminded me of it, Rory. So the question was, Philip Brown in the RFU's anti-doping report 2015-2016 says Irish rugby has a zero tolerance policy towards cheating in rugby. When did Munster's zero tolerance on drugs policy end? And the sub question was, if it hasn't ended, how does having a confessed drugs cheat on your team tally with a zero tolerance policy? The answer in full is, we're in line with Irish rugby on this front, support a zero tolerance approach to doping in Irish rugby. The ongoing test investment and structures in place support all efforts in ensuring rugby is a clean sport in Ireland. Full stop. End of answer. So what's very notable there is they don't answer the, if it hasn't ended, the zero tolerance policy, how does having a confessed drug cheat on your team tally with a zero tolerance policy? The reason, I have to presume, Keith, Munster did not answer that part of the question, and it's not like there were 20 subclauses, it was a very key part, is because it's unanswerable for them. In the same way that for Philip Brown, it's unanswerable. The decision to bring in Grobler has made a myth of the zero tolerance policy line. Like, you can't, they can never say that again, certainly while Grobler is playing for Munster. They just can't say that. It's not zero tolerance.
No, it's not zero tolerance, but it also is the opportunity of a guy when he served his ban being played. And I think that even some of the answers of these put a little bit more pressure on in terms of it. And I, in many respects, there's a view of whether you can just say, listen, we may have cocked up in this instance and we have to dig ourselves out of it at the present moment in time, and we're just not going to do it again. And I think in many respects that might solve it. It may cause other problems. I don't know.
Why do you suspect they might not be keen to do that?
I don't know, because this is something that is... has made it very tough for a lot of people, for the fans, for their teammates, for the young man himself. I don't know him at all, and but you want to play rugby, and yes, he took steroids at some stage, and none of us, and absolutely nobody, agrees with that, and that is just, and it has to be gone from the game. But within the laws, and I try to explain this, and again, you're trying to argue something that is almost inarguable and very uncomfortable to try and get through, because the law says he serves his ban, he has an opportunity to go back again, and it's just totally new ground. And, you know, I just wonder what the rationale was. Did they not know that this was going to blow up in their face? And I think that's one of the issues that goes with it as well. So I think, you know, it was incredibly short-sighted. It was always going to come to this. I do think that there is a high level of gratitude needs to be shown to Rory for raising it last week. And I think the questions that have been asked because of it will make it better in Ireland in the future. And these are the sort of questions that should always be asked, and was asked in this situation. And if it wasn't, what would happen on the eve of a game or on something else? Or is there something else that would happen somewhere down the line? I think this has made everybody within the game to stand up and take notice. I mean, we looked at this name being announced, with Grobler being announced in July, paid no real attention to it. And if we're to be brutally honest, actually, nobody knew about it until last week that this was. And yes, the information was there, but nobody thought to even look, because the presumption, nobody was even thinking along those lines. You're now thinking along those lines now. So this is an opportunity for rugby to be as squeaky clean as it can be.
So there's one other Munster answer I want to get both your thoughts on, because I don't know how much my job it is to editorialise, but I thought this was very poor. One of the key points, and actually the context here as well, Donal Lenihan today in the Irish Examiner. So again, look, we're getting a lot of texts in saying this is a Munster witch hunt. I mean, if you really think that's what we're about, fine, it really isn't. So Donal Lenihan here, Irish Examiner, wrote a stinging critique of the decision, a very personal account. He talked about Munster's reputation around the world, of the high standards it has set. He said of the signing, it sent the wrong message to the academy. So that's Lenihan today. It sent the wrong message to the academy. It was short-sighted and unnecessary, he says. So that's a context. Question for Munster. What is the message to the members of the Munster Academy about drug use when there is someone who used drugs in the first team squad? Do you accept there are mixed signals there? Answer. there are no mixed messages internally. As an organisation, Munster Rugby's stance on doping is in line with Irish Rugby and World Rugby, and we support and action all efforts in ensuring and promoting a drug-free sport. All agree, including the player himself, that what he did in 2014 was wrong. Gerbrandt is an example to others, in particular our young players, as to why you should not dope in sport. He nearly threw away his career because of a bad decision he made. Gerbrandt's experience is a deterrent to any young player in our system. Right. Other side of that coin. I'm in the academy. I'm eating all the chicken and eggs God will send me. The muscles ain't quite coming on and I'm under pressure to get bigger. Grobler cheats, anabolic steroids, all the benefits that go with it. Packs on the muscle, as you do when you take these steroids. He's unlucky to be caught, because you're always unlucky if you're caught with a test. The odds are against you ever being caught with a test. We don't catch a fraction of the people who cheat. Because it's your first offence, you get a 2-year ban. That is a kick in the teeth, but you're young. A year goes by quick enough, and then you're on the home straight. You're probably even renegotiating contracts at that stage. And you're back. You've made it. The dream is alive. You're a full-time athlete. You've got a decade left of living the dream. And the poor schmuck eating the eggs and the chicken is working in an office thinking, why didn't I do that? Because if you're 17, 18, 19, 20 and you have the skill set and don't have the size, I'm not so sure that Grobler is a deterrent. I don't think the Grobler story is a deterrent. And Gordon Darcy in the Irish Examiner makes this key point. The Irish Times, Gordon Darcy. Here is the danger. Here is the danger, says Darcy. The everyone else is doing it reasoning is how a doping culture festers. It can justify anything and everything. The IRFU mandate is to protect the game in perpetuity. So Munster with that answer, Keith, I think that's a nonsense and that's absolute spin. I think what Darcy says is right, and that is why this is a big deal. The everyone is doing it or a lot of people are doing it reasoning is how something as insidious as doping reaches a tipping point and you lose a ton of guys. And the IRFU mandate is what Darcy talks about. So that answer from Munster is nonsense, in my opinion.
I think a fair part of the answer is fine, and I think the last line of it is the bit that is you're opening up to scrutiny, which is a deterrent. And I think you can look at it in two ways, and I'm sorry for being fair, and somebody criticised me for being too fair the other day, which I'm kind of interested in as a concept, but I can't think of any young man who would like to go through what Gerbrandt has gone through in the last 10 days. And I think that is a deterrent. I think the potential...
Can I stop you there on that point? The only bad thing he's gone through is the media witch hunt, to paraphrase everyone. That's all he's gone through is actually media, for all the criticism. And I mean, check Rory O'Connor's timeline if you want to see fair.
All he's had from official
parties is support. Conor Murray, Peter O'Mahony, Van Gran, this Munster press release, Philip Brown to a large extent. So I appreciate he's had a tough 10 days and I hate seeing any 25-year-old. You worry about anyone's mental health in the midst of it all. So it's not really about this one person. He's had a tough time. But ultimately, he's had a lot of support too. And, you know, if the media who were told to shut up by a lot of people just shut up and got on with it, then his 10 days would have been just fine. So, he has been welcomed back. He's been welcomed in here by his teammates and by the officials. So, I know what you're saying. Look, it hasn't been good for him.
I don't have criticism of the media in this instance. I think they're doing their job, right? So I don't have an issue in that space.
Deterrent in an official capacity, where has it come from?
Well, by the nature of the sport, and sport is once you serve your ban, you're not entitled to get a job again, but you can continue to play your sport again. That is within the laws of rugby. It is within WADA. I think there's a big deterrent. If you're to take an example as an Irishman, I think that what has happened in the last 10 days would be, I think that is a huge deterrent. I really do. I do think there is the potential that when you can see that you can get back in again. Yes, I do think that that is a possibility. But I feel that the deterrent is pretty huge as well in equal measure. And I don't think this is exactly one way or the other. And I think this would be solved by it not, when the decision was due to be made, that it wasn't made, that it wasn't even countenanced.
Look, if it's that big a deterrent, Rory, players wouldn't dope sports people wouldn't dope. They know it's a 2-year ban tops. Yeah, you get your 10 days of heat here. But I mean, did he get 10 days? How was his experience at Racing in France? Probably okay.
From the things that I've read, he was a reasonably small fish in a pretty big ocean over there. I think playing for Munster exposes you to, you know, there's not a huge amount of professional sport being played in Ireland. It's a big brand, it's a big team, big fan base. We're all talking about Munster twice a week here. I think he sailed under the radar a little bit in Racing, and it's blown up for him. And you know, Conor Murray said yesterday he's rattled in the gym, and I'm sure he is. And yet it was uncomfortable watching Conor Murray and Peter O'Mahony defending him yesterday. There's comments in tomorrow's papers from Chris Henry up in Ulster, who was asked about it today, who said he thinks a lot of Irish players in dressing rooms will be very shocked to have Gerben Grobler in the system at the decision. And I haven't got them in front of me, but they're very interesting comments. And I think they're possibly more reflective of what's actually going on in dressing rooms and behind the scenes.
O'Mahony and Murray are just between a rock and a hard place. That's all they were going to say. We can't, in fairness, realistically look to his teammates for guidance on this issue. You just can't. You almost have to discount their support for him. That's all they were ever going to do.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I mean, they were, maybe Munster could have put someone from the corridors of power up before the media yesterday to kind of take the heat off the players, but once they were put forward for their regular media duties, the questions were always going to be asked.
Flicking through some of the other action, I mentioned Donald Lenihan, short-sighted, unnecessary. Stephen Ferris in this show, absolutely the wrong decision. Eddie O'Sullivan, not against lifetime bans, is Eddie's point on this. Shane Horgan and second captains, absolutely against the Munster decision here. It was the wrong decision, and I refute, he can't understand it. Luke Fitzgerald on his podcast in the Left Wing, the Irish Independent podcast, on the issue of second chances, a guy deserves a second chance. Luke says this, I would tend to agree, sport is different. Like, second chances don't necessarily apply to sport when it comes to doping in the same way they do in society. I mean, if you don't give people second chances in society, we're in a shocking state. But sport is a privilege. It is different. Neil Francis in The Last Word was against it. He had written about Grobler 2 years ago and asked some questions of, like, again, it's not necessarily about Grobler, but if we're talking about redemption and a good example, Francis not unreasonably asked on The Last Word on Today FM, where did this guy at 21, 22 get this stuff?
Yeah.
Who gave it to him? Or who helped him out with it? Like, have names fallen? Was it systematic? Was it not? And then Gordon Darcy, we mentioned. And, you know, like, Gordon Darcy, a very reasonable guy, is making really big points here. Silence from above won't make this go away. Explain why a doping cheat was brought into the Irish system as a project player, which means he could one day wear an Ireland jersey. And state if that's going to be the ongoing policy. It would save the RFU in wages. Dopers come cheaper than non-dopers. If Irish rugby has its doping problem now and they imported it, whoever decided that was a wise move needs their head examined. So that's the sentiment out there, Keith. Yeah, sorry, you wanted to come in.
No, I didn't say that.
No, it's me. I think one of the really the good things that's come out of a very difficult week for mostly Gerben Grobler, but we'd all probably be talking about the matches at the weekend, is the fact that so many people have gone on the record with their thoughts about doping and rugby, and we're in a much more clear-cut place about where people who've recently retired, people, you know, greats of the game, stand on it. And I think the RFU and Munster and the other provinces know much more about their stakeholders' positions on this matter. And I think a lot of the comments that we've seen from the people that you've mentioned have been very worthy contributions to a very important debate in rugby.
Okay, last point. We said we'd revisit this. The rest of the season. Will he play for Munster, Keith? Should he play for Munster, Keith?
I have no idea whether he'll play for Munster. And I think in the furore, which is right, I don't think he should.
Borey?
I don't think he should. I think he probably will. And I'm going to be very interested to see what the reaction of the Thomond Park crowd will be if he comes on for the last 20 minutes of a game. I wonder, will they wait until the Six Nations?
Kind of West Wing taking out the trash kind of a press release way, the same way it seemed to arrive the week of the New Zealand Lions game?
We were all watching the Lions. He's probably a good option to put on the bench. If you're just picking a team, he's probably a good option to put on against the big French team on Sunday. And in fairness, Munster's statement suggests that they will play him, and Philip Brown says, you know, the guy needs to get on with his job. But so, you know, that seems to be the, you know, certainly Munster are backing their man in the statement today, and so are their players.
Well, the Munster press release is more entrenched than Philip Brown.
Yes.
Like, Philip Brown arguably could have communicated his position a lot better, but did concede there will be probably a change in policy.
Yeah.
The Munster answers here are entrenched. Yes. Like, we're doubling down on this. I mean, you read that, you would think there's no issue. He's served his ban. That is the Munster policy now on convicted dopers.
Certainly on this one, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, they've made their bed. They have to line it. They signed them. They didn't see the Ferrari coming. The man who signed them has moved on. Certainly Van Graan was much stronger on doping as a general issue this week when he was asked if he understood the controversy. He said he did, and, you know, doping is wrong, and basically said, look, I've inherited this situation, and I feel sorry for him as well, because really, you know, he's walked into it has landed on him. I think he will play at some stage, but probably not this weekend.
Okay. Keith, do you want to add any final point on all this then? Because we're going to take a break and we'll talk about the games at the weekend.
Well, I talked to some teenagers today, rugby players, and one said he should not play. One said, sure, he served his ban and he should never play if he fails again. And the third said he's a dope, which I don't think he really understood the question. And I think that's where a lot of it is out. People are very entrenched on this one. I think everybody is upset by it, to be honest, and I believe that to be the case. I hope this is the day that that Irish rugby will never forget, and we'll try and make certain that this just does not happen again. And we may have a couple of other issues if he plays before the end of the season or whatever the story is, but we can't let this happen again.
Okay, take a short break.
Off the Ball.
In association with AIR. Don't miss live and exclusive Premier League action this month on the AIR Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. So I would say 80 to 90% of people saying shut up.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Look, these are important questions to ask, and nobody terribly enjoys these conversations, to be honest, but have to be had. And equally, Donal Lenihan is on Twitter. You can tell him to shut up. Stephen Ferris is on Twitter. You can tell him to shut up. Eddie O'Sullivan is on Twitter. You can tell him to shut up. Shane Horgan's not, but we can pass on the message. Luke Fitzgerald's on Twitter. Neil Francis, you'll be able to get hold of at the Sunday Independent. And Gordon Darcy's on Twitter. So,
trolling's not cool, Joe. That'll be great.
Listen, I don't know. We have to talk about this stuff. The weekend then, I mean, I would presume from your point of view, Rory, this Grobler thing has completely overshadowed the weekend.
Even overshadowed the Ireland squad today.
Yeah.
Now, the Ireland squad didn't have any massive big shocks, so I suppose that...
Jordan Larmour in is
Jordan
the
Jordan Larmour in, but I think that was kind of coming. No, it has, and to us, I'm looking forward to the weekend. I mean, there's some brilliant rugby. It's going to be non-stop from start to finish. Like, there's 5 points between the top three teams and four of the five pools. There's only one team through to the quarterfinals. I don't remember that ever happening before. I think this is probably going to be the most exciting round six of European Champions Cup rugby we've possibly seen, and it'll go right down to Ulster against Wasps over in the Ricoh Arena on Sunday.
Yeah, we're low on talking points for the Six Nations squad, Keith. So Jordan Larmour is in, Joe Carberry's back. The three scrum halves, John Cooney's didn't make it, Luke McGrath and Marmion understudies to Conor Murray. There was some talk of Tadhg Byrne coming in. I haven't seen much of Tadhg Byrne, but he hasn't been included. I just wondered on the same... I know he's obviously playing for the Scarlets, but in the same way that Simon Zeebo, because he's on his way out, is excluded from the squad, maybe Tadhg Byrne, because he's on his way in, might have been considered. Have you seen much of Byrne?
I've seen a bit of him. He's played pretty well. I think they'd love to have had him in Munster a year earlier.
I would think so.
For a variety of reasons. And but, look, he's good, hard, aggressive... decent in the line out, good ball carrier, has a big engine on him actually, and he's played some really good rugby this year. Whether that puts him into the squad or not, you know, I'd still rather have Simon Zeebo in the squad. I think while he's in the country, I'd still think we should be playing him. It's one of those elements that we'll all kind of disagree on. Larmour in the squad, yeah, we'd be very surprised if he wasn't. What I loved about him in the game on Sunday, it was my first time seeing him really properly up close. He's a solid unit. You know, he's not a kind of waif like young fella that's kind of has to grow up yet. He's solid. He didn't try and force anything the other day. There's been a huge amount of hype about him. That can often lead to players trying to go and show exactly, I can live up to this hype. I can show you exactly what I can do. He didn't try and do that at all. He played far beyond his years, very calm, passed when he should have passed. You know, there was a huge scoreline and he wasn't getting a huge amount of ball. It just didn't seem to bother him, which I thought was interesting to see.
Yeah, because he might feel a certain pressure to pull off the miracles we see against Munster and the sustained kind of brilliance against Ulster in every game. He'll know eyes are on him, so it said a lot that he didn't try to do too much.
Yeah, but he could get smashed very, very easily if he tries to do too much. But, you know, on the game at the weekend, it was boring for 15 minutes, really, in terms of there was a load of mistakes. And then when Glasgow scored the try, it just was the right kick up the bum for Leinster. And suddenly, you know, they still made mistakes, but they just upped the gear. The gear that Glasgow just did not... They probably had it. They just didn't want to have it on this day. They had nothing to play for. They had a lot of their main players gone. It was like a glorified training session, though I'd say they've trained harder at times.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the scores were excellent. I like it when you see forwards getting in on the act, not just leaving it to the backs who were able to carve them up, because some of the defence in the Glasgow backline was really poor.
Yeah. Ross Byrne was a guy both you and Andy Dunn mentioned as well. Came on for Sexton, obviously, and it goes about his business also in a nice understated way. Is Byrne likely to push his way into the international setup in the next number of years? Obviously, Ian Keatley's form is excellent at the moment.
I would say he is, for the simple reason that we always get injuries, and there's always an opportunity, and there are different tours at different times of the year, and, you know, the chance to get a 10 to play so that we can see him in an international, to know that we'll need him at the latter end of next year in the World Cup, is something that will be very important. And we have, you know, we have never had strength and depth at 10. We seem to have it at the moment.
Mm. From a Leinster point of view this weekend, Rory, there's not too much to say. They're locked and loaded. They've a home quarter-final guaranteed. They have Montpellier away. How seriously do you bother taking this game?
I think the higher up you finish in the pecking order gives you a better chance of having a home semi-final as well as a home quarter-final. So
very in short.
Yeah, it is. I think they'll go and they'll want to finish as high up the table as possible. Montpellier are pretty much out of the running. I think he'll rotate. I think he had planned to rotate anyway. I think he expected Montpellier to still be in the hunt. I think we'll maybe see Rob Kearney come in. I wouldn't be surprised to see Joey Carberry come in, because he's due back around now, and I think Joe Schmidt will be quite keen for him to get some minutes under his belt. So yeah, I think they'll go over and they'll go for it. And it'll be an interesting mark of how far they've come, because they lost their last season and were pretty much blown away.
Yeah.
So that'll be, you know, that's about as interesting as it's going to get. I mean, it's as interesting as dead rubber can be.
Yeah. So Munster host Cast Sunday at 1 o'clock. The situation there is they're on 16 points in the pool. They're 1 point ahead of Racine. They have better head-to-head with Racine as well. So they're in really good shape. Just a win against Cast gets them out of the pool. How close are Munster to home quarter-final territory?
By the time Sunday rolls around, we'll know what they have to do, I think. They are in the mix, but they're not guaranteed. You know, 4 points might not do them. 5 probably will.
Okay.
Cast are still clinging into the running, and their coach, Christoph,
they're 4 points behind.
Yeah. Now, their head-to-head with Munster will be better if they beat them. They'd obviously have to deny Munster a bonus point to do that. But their coach, Christoph Urios, said after they hammered Leicester at the weekend that this shuts the idiots up who've been saying we don't take Europe seriously all the years. So it sounds like they're taking it seriously this year. And I think people, when they see Cass coming to an Irish ground, they just presume that it's going to be a fairly comfortable win, because they don't travel well. Obviously, the proof will be in the pudding, to use a Philip Brownism. It seems like this year they're going to put up a bit more of a fight, and obviously Munster couldn't beat them over there, and we're, you know, somewhat fortunate to get away with a draw back in October. So,
were you in Paris?
I was. Yeah.
What did you make of this stadium? The atmosphere.
Weird. Really, really strange. The atmosphere, I think it was full. It'd be pretty cool. It was 16,000 people in a 30,000 stadium.
Okay, it was hard to tell because they blackened out the upper tier.
Yeah, well, there's no one in the upper tier. So, they can do that when there's no lights on. Well, we were in the upper tier, but that was it. And we could hear the aircon throughout. So as the lulls happened, as sometimes happens at a game, you could hear this hiss constantly throughout. When it got going, look, it was a brilliant game. And I think the conditions in the stadium...
Was it warm, Rory?
No, I think it was in their opening game, and I think that's why the aircon was coming on so strong, because people complained. It's like being at a rugby game in the three arena or somewhere like that. And I think the crowd responded to that a little bit. I think the crowd were quite passive because they're in a place where you expect to be entertained. And the Racing don't have the fan base that Munster or Claremont have. I think if you move Munster to that stadium, it'd be amazing, because they'd walk in and just make it happen, whereas Racing are coming from such a small fan base. But yeah, it was new. It was very, very new and nothing I'd ever experienced before. It was interesting. I wouldn't like to write it off. I mean, is it the future of stadiums? Probably no one can afford something like that, but it was an interesting concept.
So Munster, a lot of people agreed the performance was good, Keith. Sometimes, you find yourself 2 points up with... couple of minutes to go, or another point, 6 points up earlier in the game, and a losing bonus point would always been something they were happy to take home, but you kind of come away feeling it was there for them. They could have really put themselves in a brilliant position. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I was scrambling for a flight, and I watched the game but didn't kind of get to see it all, and then watched highlights of it afterwards, knowing, which is always a frustrating way to watch a game. I think their discipline again has caused them hassle. I've been a bit frustrated with the refereeing all season, by the way. It's slightly different interpretations and elements of that. And I'm not criticising the referee in this instance. I'm criticising Munster in we just seem to be falling afoul of the referee too often. And that's something that absolutely needs to rectify. Because normally when you're in that position with 8 or 9 or 10 minutes to go, you'd see Munster going out to get their win. But I'll go back to something you said earlier on, which unfortunately is one of those most boring truisms of rugby, is that the French teams tend to win at home. Racing were so confident in that result, and they were confident even when Munster went into the lead. They didn't panic in any way, shape or form. They seemed that this is their home, they want to make it a fortress, and they were incredibly calm, which they often are not.
Perhaps up until they decided to take the points when they were... winning. I mean, that they must have been worried about winning the game at that stage, because they've destroyed themselves on head to head with Munster here instead of going for the try. They were 1 point up with that penalty.
They still played well. They just made the wrong decision, and I wonder whether they had that clarity before they went onto the field.
Yeah.
And much in all, as you said about Cast coming over, the coach can be fine and be really positive, but if Munster get their act together, keep their discipline really well, don't let the scoreboard take over, Cast will have a patch, they'll do well. But the longer Munster are in that game, the more Cast are thinking about their championship at home.
Van Graan is talking about trying to improve the attacking side of things. From what I saw in Munster last year, they got so close in the semi-final against Saracens, and then the Scarlets played very well in that final, but you need an all-round game, and he was talking about trying to be more expressive in attack as well. Like, we're seeing Conor Murray taking kicks from way out now. He mentioned that being something that they're going to keep on doing where possible. Murray's jumping up in the line out at times as well. And he's talking about trying to improve their passing generally and add a bit more to their attacking game. I mean, that was something they were trying to do anyway. Perhaps Jerry Flannery mentioned that over the summer. Are you seeing any Van Graan fingerprints over how they're going about their business, Keith?
I think they're having a cut more. Like when you say improve the passing, I think when you look at the centre partnerships, at times there's a variety of loose passes that kind of bounce to the winger. Actually, I want to mention Keith Earls.
Yeah.
My God, is he on fire again? He's had a season of seasons. I know he's had injuries, but he just looks so incredibly sharp at the moment. That handling. If the ball goes to the right place in the hands, that's you get around the corner. You know, you're going to get into the position. If you have to check at any stage, that makes it very hard. So they were in a great atmosphere to do it last weekend. This weekend, with, I have to say, the amount of rain that seems to be falling down here, I don't know whether it's like that all over the country, but it's just, you know, it's the place is going to be a mess. So, you know, absolute accuracy is paramount for the game. They do need to do more. I mean, they play well. consistently in the Pro 12, and we've discussed this before, there are a couple of teams in the Pro 12, three or four teams that are of a higher standard, and when you're playing against those, you have to play a better standard of rugby to actually win. And when you get to the knockout stages of the European Champions Cup, you need to have different skill sets and to be able to do more. Munster got an awful long way last year on a wave of emotion and great grit and great attention and great defence, but a couple of injuries and they're just not the same team. And I would say they're still in that position, but they've moved up a notch definitely from last year. But as a way in progress, it takes a lot. And if we go back to Pat Lamb, when he was at Connacht, he had a couple of really hard years where there was matches lost by a point or whatever, and that change doesn't happen so quickly. So I think it'll take a period of time, but I do think it is improving.
Okay. Ulster, then finally, are at Wasps, Rory, on Sunday, 3:15 kickoff. So Ulster lead their pool, 17 points, La Rochelle 16 points. The La Rochelle head-to-head is better. Do you presume they'll get a bonus point against Quinns, who are not in great shape? So Ulster will have to get a bonus point away to Wasps.
Or win, Well, to top the pool, But I mean, I think if they win in Wasps, they'll get through as one of the fastest looters.
Will they?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're right up there. They've got 17 points.
Well, that's a more digestible possibility.
I think, well, I always, Ulster's pool always looked like two might come out of it, and then they kind of ended up in this scenario where they had to beat La Rochelle and Wasps to go through, and they've done arguably the hard part. The OYO is up. Again, they just, like, I mean, you couldn't honestly predict what Ulster are going to do next. There's a book in their season. Lady Afana's last game before he heads off and is replaced by Stephen Donald. Wasps are pretty much out of the running. So you just don't know what's going to happen with Ulster. Can they put it back to back? It'd be some achievement if they can. It might give Les a bit of a breathing space through the Six Nations.
Yeah.
If you've got three Irish provinces in the quarterfinals, it'd be pretty nice, especially. There's a lot of hand-wringing going on in England. Plus Connacht. There's a lot of hand-wringing going on in England. They're worried they might not get anyone through, which is quite a turnaround in 2 years.
Yeah, okay. Go on.
Wasn't it incredible last weekend that every time you looked at one of the matches, if you looked halfway through and then went back to them, actually that's the wrong result. It just, everything went kind of all over the place in the middle of it. And do you know what? I'm interested in this game at the weekend. Saracens against Northampton. And obviously, that's a Saracens win. Of course it is. But Northampton, ever since Alan Gaffney has come in, have suddenly started to play a little bit better and play as a team and actually win. Mm. And just out of the pure pig-headedness of that Aussie man, they may well get a victory where they shouldn't.
Mm. I think Saracens are on course for Leinster. Is that about right, maybe?
The way it's shaping up, these things rarely come through the way they are. But I mean, that's the game everyone wants to see.
That'd be
the game Leinster wanted last year as well. Johnny Sexton came straight out after he lost to Claremont, and we wanted a crack at Saracens.
Okay,
so that'd be something else to do at the Viva Stadium.
Right. Well, there's a weekend of Champions Cup action and a Six Nations in the meantime, lads. We'll leave it there. Rory O'Connor from the Irish Independent and Keith Wood, thanks very much. We'll take a very short break.
Thanks, lads.
Off the ball
on News Talk in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.